Praise the Lord. How about you stretch your hands out there to Pastor Robert and Ms. Laura tonight? Remember, I asked you to do 60 seconds of prayer a day. That's not a lot of prayer, but it will do a lot if a lot of people do it. Father, I ask you to bless Robert and Laura. I ask you to bless them, God, because they're faithful to you, and they will be all their life. I ask you to anoint their feet with oil. I ask you to anoint their minds with new wine. I ask you to fill, God, their days with joyful expectancy that good things are about to happen. I ask you, God, that the dreams of faith will be born. Greater dreams than have ever been dreamed in this town before, to accomplish greater things than have ever been accomplished. I ask you to resharpen Pastor Robert's plow. Make his plow so sharp that it's able to cut through rock, stumps, and every hindrance that would be in your field, God. Let that plow be so powerful that it can clear a field in a day. It can go into the heart of a man or a woman and remove that which Satan has planted. That it can produce harvests quickly, miraculously. That every crop is a bumper crop. God, I ask you to anoint Laura with supernatural wings, that God, she'd be able to write songs that she's never thought of before. Hear you speaking to her when she's alone, to sing her songs that are only sung in heaven, that we could sing those songs, that the angels sing. Fill your house with your glory. More glory in the last days than has ever been seen any days before, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Praise God. You know, I hear the Lord telling me something. I hear the Lord saying you should start preparing your stalls and start preparing the corrals. Because I'm going to start roping in the stallions that are running out wild. The uncontrollable stallions. Those that once they're broken will do more and accomplish more and will be of greater value than those that come in sheepishly. I'm going to fill those corrals and I'm going to break those stallions with my word and with my love and with my goodness and with my mercy. And they'll be fit for riding. They'll be fit to do what they were born to do, to run in a race and win it. I'm going to do something you've never seen me do. I'm going to perform a brain surgery that literally removes every seed the enemy has planted in people's brains. Everything that keeps them from believing in me, from trusting me, from having faith and expectation and joy. I'm going to remove everything that causes people to stay little and to live in the prison of their own mind. A breaking out will begin to happen. And I'm telling you that you should prepare yourself by being available to my Holy Spirit. Let my Holy Spirit have control over your behavior, over your words and thoughts and actions and habits. Let my Holy Spirit write your future. Don't let your life be the pen that writes your future. Let my Holy Spirit write your future for you by obeying me when I tell you to do things. Do not live in the spirit of timidity and fear. Take chances. Take risks. Jump off the cliff. I've never dropped anybody. I will not drop you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, sow that seed in everybody's heart and let it grow and just blow everything up. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. How are you tonight? Glad you came tonight. Praise God. We're so happy to see you. And if you would go to Matthew 13 tonight. If you weren't here this morning, go ahead and get the tape. We're talking about the hearing ear. And this morning we went over the 13 disorders that people develop over their life that cause them not to be able to hear what God is saying. And we talked about a lot of different things. You can get that off the tape. I'm going to go over one more time the definitions for being able to hear. And this is the basic promise. When you listen to something, you might be stirred. But if you hear something, you'll be changed. And so we went over the way you know that you've heard God talk to you. Is something changes, you get persuaded about something, you get a conviction about something, fruit begins to manifest, breakthroughs begin to happen. Because you just didn't listen to what God was saying, but you actually heard what God was saying. And so we're going to take you really quickly and show you again what we mentioned this morning to just refresh your memory. These are the definitions I came up with yesterday when I looked over the word hear and all the words connected to it. It means to take aim at the light and to focus on the truth. So when you're hearing, you're really hearing God, you're taking aim at the light. You're looking for God's light to speak to you and the truth to talk to you. It means to slay the negative and to behold the positive. So when you're listening, you're disregarding what the devil's talking to you about and you're concentrating on the victory that's about to happen. It means to become what you hear. It means to slay the questions. These are the definitions right out of the Strong's. To slay the questions. It means to cease from fearing the results. To cleave to the illumination. To receive the breath of God. To tremble in honor of what God is saying. To walk within the seeing. And that's a beautiful one, to walk within the scene. Wow, that's so deep. There's so much. Do a year of that. To regard as sacred by submitting to the demands of what you hear. And then to hold your mind at attention. Those are basic definitions for the word hearing. And so tonight in the book of Mark, chapter 4, if I told you Matthew, I meant Mark. So let's go right over there. And that'll be Mark, chapter 4. Beginning with verse 14. Only what we hear. I'm sorry, the sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear it, Satan comes at once, and by force he takes it away, the message which is sown in them. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive it and accept it and welcome it with joy, and they have no root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while, and then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, and they become displeased, indignant, and resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, then the cares and anxieties of the world, and the distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things begins to creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. And those sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept it and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times, and even up to 100 times as much. Praise the Lord. Right, look at two people and say, that's what I'm talking about. So, we're talking about hearers of the word and becoming able to hear what God is saying, restoring the voice of the pastor back to the ears of the church. And there are several sacred things that God gives a person. Several sacred voices that God gives a person. He puts them in your life. These are sacred voices. If you don't protect these voices and guard these voices, you will actually be cutting yourself off from your own mercy and your own deliverance. Obviously, the most important voice you and I have to really learn how to hear and how to regard is the voice of God. How many of you agree with that? And so when God speaks, we have to know how God speaks. And because God is teaching us how to hear, and we only retain what we hear, the only thing you're going to keep in your life is the things you have heard, not just the things you listen to, but the things you've actually heard. Everything else is going to be dismissed out of your life. It'll be as if it was never spoken. So the hundreds of sermons and messages that you may hear in your life, if you don't become an expert at hearing, then you're going to miss out on what God is trying to tell you and how God is trying to bless you. And I believe that everybody here is smart enough to want to be blessed. Praise the Lord. And I think all of you are smart enough to want solutions as fast as you can get them. Right? And how many of you want the goat to be gotten out of you? The yeah, but animal inside of you. Praise the Lord. The troublemaker. The one that's always butting heads. The fighter. The rebel. The chaos. The anarchy inside of you. All of that comes when you are able to hear what God tells you, and then you make the adjustment and change, and then God begins to manifest his fruitfulness in that area of your life. So it's really important tonight to get a hold of what we're going to share with you, because it's really going to bless you, and you're really going to really get a lot out of it. And it's really, really important. So God's voice. We should always fear the voice of the Lord. You know when God is talking to you. It's not like a big mystery. How many of you know when God is telling you something? And you have no question. If you hear this, if you're stealing, for example, and I say to you, don't steal, you will say, ooh, that was God talking to me. Because you're stealing. So God tells you don't steal. So you can be sure that's God talking to me. If you are fighting with somebody and you hear God say, you know, be kind and forgiving, you know God is talking to you because you're doing the very opposite of what you're being told to do. One of the easiest ways to know God is talking to you is he tells you to do something you're not doing. Praise the Lord. He tells you to do something you're not doing that you really need to start doing. Praise the Lord. It's not like a big mystery. It's not like some kind of big math problem. It's like you're cussing. God says, don't cuss. Oh, I just can't hear the voice of God. What do you mean? God just told you don't cuss. Oh, I just can't hear the voice of God. God must be saying something. Hey, you're cussing. Stop cussing. What? What? God couldn't talk like that. So don't make it more mysterious than it is. How do you know what God is telling you in the first place? Get rid of whatever you know is wrong. Because that's what God's telling you. It doesn't go any further than that. That's it, right there. Get rid of all the stuff that you know God can't bless. Get rid of everything God cannot bless. Anything you know, God can't bless that. God cannot bless that. God cannot bless that. Get rid of that, and then you will be hearing what God is telling you. If you know that you're supposed to get rid of something in your life, and you don't get rid of it, then you are rejecting the voice of God. And that can be very costly to your life, your family, your children, your finances, and your future, and your health. Praise God. So it's not a big mystery. It's not like some difficult thing. It's just, you know what you're like. I'm not around you 24 hours a day, but you're with yourself 24 hours a day, and you know exactly what you're like. You know what you're like when you're mad. You know what you're like when you're sad. You know what you're like when nobody's watching. You know what you're like. In every circumstance, you already know yourself pretty well. So God doesn't really have to say anything new. Right? He doesn't have to like come up with a new thing today to tell you. Something maybe he's already told you 500 times in 500 ways. So we're not going to get anything new because we're not even at the new point. We need to get the old before we get the new. We need to get the things right that he already told us before he's going to add more stuff to that. Right? Because we need to become hearers. We need to be hearers. We need to hear what God is saying because there's a purpose behind all of it. Praise the Lord. And like I said, we're going to go over the diseases and heal them tonight. And you're going to get healed and God's going to do that. But let's quickly go over some of the consequences of you deciding to not obey what God is telling you. How many of you think that's important? It's called the fear of the Lord. And we need it. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law of God and man, even his prayer is an abomination. And that is in Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from hearing the word of the Lord, even his prayer, is an abomination, hateful and revolting to God. That's pretty serious. Praise the Lord. So how many think that's an important consequence you should know about? That if God's telling you to do something and you say no, that it's not like no big deal. It's a big deal to say no to God. Since God loves you and knows everything, and he knows the future, so he knows how to protect you from the future, and he knows how to save you from all the trouble that may be coming along the way, and he tells you ahead of time what to do, so you and I ought to become really, really, really good at obeying what God tells us when he tells us. Praise God. Look at two people and say, that's true. Listen to this, and people will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and made man deceptions. Man-made deceptions, 2 Timothy 4:4. If you resist what God tells you and what God is talking to you about, if you do it enough times, one of the worst things that happens is you begin to be deceived. And I have seen some of my best friends get deceived. Because they have rejected God's voice over and over and over again. And they get deceived about all kinds of things. They have to develop a new doctrine. And sometimes they even have to reinvent God to fit their particular vices. remember that the vice you protect becomes the door of attack. So it's really, really important. And remember this, unobeyed truth creates sterility. I've told that to you three times. Unobeyed truth creates sterility. When you reject the voice of God, you become sterile. And you're unable to then receive what God is saying and get delivered from what God wants to deliver you from. Praise the Lord. How many believe God is ready to do something for you tonight? If we'll just do what God tells us in the areas that He's already spoken to us about. Beware, brothers, take care lest there be in any one of you an unbelieving heart which refuses to listen and trust in the voice of God, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. That's pretty serious. Since all this is true, we ought to pay more attention than ever to the truths that we have heard, lest any way and at any time we drift past them and let them slip away. Praise God. Here's the thing that I apply this rule to myself, because I like to do a monthly inventory in my life. I always do it. I've done it for all the years that I've been a Christian. Every month I'll have a prayer time where I just do an inventory, because here's what I don't want to happen. I never want to find myself drifting back. I don't ever want to look and see less fruit this month than I had last month. I want everything to always be increasing every year, every month, all the time. And in order to do that, you got to get serious about your walk with God. And you need to do an inventory. If you're sitting there and you say, you know, I'm more miserable today than I was last month, then there's something wrong. I'm meaner now than I was when I first got saved. I'm poorer now than I was when I first got saved. You know, I have less of everything now than I did when I first got saved. These are not good signs. And this is a sign of drifting, because we haven't heard what God has been trying to tell us. Praise the Lord. Would you look at two people, shake their hand, and say, snap out of it. Praise God. Look well to your own personality and to your teachings. Persevere in these things. Hold on to them. For by doing so, you will save yourself and everyone in your family and those who hear you. Watch yourself that you make no covenant with the inhabitants of the land into which you are going, or it will become a snare in your midst. Be watchful not to offer your burnt offerings in every place you see. Take heed not to forsake or neglect the Levites, God's ministers, as long as you live. You know, one of the signs that people have not been hearing what God has been telling them is they no longer support the preachers and the churches that they belong to. That's one of the ways you can know. Because in the Old Testament, God said, be careful that you not forsake the Levites, the ones whose job it is to give you the word of God. And a lot of people in a lot of places, if you study this, only 3% of people tithe in churches. 3% of people tithe. A church depends on the tithe of the people. And if 3% at an average in America are tithing, imagine what the churches could do if 100% of the people obeyed God and what He was telling them. I only know of one church that has 100% tithing, and that is in Africa. They have 3 million people in the church now. And they took up one offering, and it took 16 semis to take that offering, and took over a year to count the last offering. Think about what I'm saying. They own universities and everything else. Because that preacher started preaching tithing to them, and they heard it, and then they did it. And it got everybody out of all kinds of problems. The government now comes to this particular preacher for loans. Look at two people and say, we need that anointing on the business. Praise the Lord. How many of you, if you'll just do what God tells you in your business or with your children, you'll have no problems. Praise the Lord. And if you teach your children to obey your voice, They'll have no problems. Because you got these sacred voices, the voice of God. Then you have the voice of your pastor. You know, the pastor is not a hireling. The pastor is a gift. He's not somebody that's there for the job. He's a person that's there appointed by God with a gift, anointing, and a calling, and with the divine protection of God on his life. And it's something that should be taken very sacredly. How many of you know that a lot of people treat the church not like a bride, but like a mistress? If you have a mistress, you visit her once a week. If you like what she does, you pay her. If you don't like what she does, you don't pay her. But you can't visit your bride once a week. Praise the Lord. You can pay her anytime you want, but you can't visit her once a week. Because it's a covenant. There's no covenant with a mistress. There's no requirements. You don't have to build her a house. You don't have to buy her a house. You don't have to support her. You don't have to take care of her. You don't have to walk her around. You don't have to introduce her. You have no relationship with a mistress. But a bride is a different thing. And that's why God is beginning to heal the church by telling us things that will honor what God honors. And if we'll just listen to God, we'll get all forms of deliverances and all forms of healings. Praise God. Look at three people and say, I'm going to get healed tonight. So we need medicine to heal our ears. We gave you 13 things this morning. I'm not going to go over them right now. Hopefully you will hear 13 things that disorders that happen to people's ears where they cannot hear what God is trying to tell them. I'm so happy that I heard God calling me when I got saved. I'm so happy because I had no idea what in the world I was hearing. I just knew that it really made me feel really good inside, and it took out all the bad, ugly feelings on the inside. And that's kind of how I related to God talking to me, is you take out something bad and put in something good. Praise the Lord. I remember right after I had my encounter with God and the love of God flooded my soul, within 2 days, my personality changed. My personality changed. I was under the influence of a demon, a spirit that held me in bondage and kept my personality in the grip of shame and guilt and anger and bitterness and rage and shyness and introversion. And I was all imprisoned and all incapable and felt totally like I didn't deserve to even live. But then Jesus healed me of that and changed my personality, and immediately miracles began to happen because of that. People began to get saved. Things began to change. My family began to notice. People in school began to notice. Everything began to change because the chains were breaking off simply because I was just obeying what God was telling me without knowing that God was telling me. It's just what I felt like doing. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes the best voice you will ever hear is the voice of your own conscience telling you what is right and wrong. And if you'll just follow your conscience, you'll stay out of trouble. Would you hug two people and say, I got to listen to my conscience? How many of you have ever done anything wrong? Let me see your hands. How many of you know that it's possible to do enough wrong things that you no longer feel wrong about the wrong things? And it's possible to do enough wrong things that you no longer care about the wrong you're doing. Because it says the conscience becomes seared with a hot iron, meaning that your conscience is no longer convictable. Now you can become a murderer, a rapist, a thief, a liar, and all kinds of other crazy things. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to listen to our conscience, which is part of his voice. And I think that's really important. Praise the Lord. For example, God's going to tell some of you to start tithing. And you're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to listen to that or am I going to reject that? Well, the choice is yours because, I mean, the consequences are not going to be good if you disobey God's voice in any area. Praise the Lord. And we're talking about how to become hearers. So we need some medicine for our ears. Remember that the thing that makes our ears sick are the lies we hear and the pains that we suffer. Every time you've been hurt in your life, it has twisted something on the inside of you. If somebody betrays you, it twists you where you're not really able to trust people after that. And that makes you a very dangerous person, because you cannot trust a person who does not trust. And God, because you can't have a relationship with someone who cannot trust. There is no relationship without trust. It's like being married to a person you don't trust. There's no relationship. It's just total fear. Praise the Lord. And it's the same way with God, and it's the same way with your church, and it's the same way with your pastor. If you can just take them and leave them, then you don't trust them. This is God's gift to you. You should trust Pastor Robert. You should trust Living Waters Church. So far, I don't know of anybody they've hurt, cheated, abused, or lied to. And they're never going to do that. But you know, it costs sometimes to stand for the truth. Not everybody enjoys the truth, and it costs. But there are plenty of churches now that won't tell you the truth. They just will tell you whatever it is you want to hear. So you never will change or grow or benefit. Praise God. Would you hug someone right now and say, "My Lord, have you been to shock therapy yet?" Praise the Lord. So what is going to heal your ears? If a lie makes your ears sick, then obviously the truth makes your ears whole. Hearing the truth heals your ears from the sicknesses that we've developed. We're going to pray over those in a little bit. But every time that you expose yourself to the truth and believe the truth and act on the truth, it will heal you to the point where you're able to actually hear God's voice clear. How many of you think it's important for you to be able to hear God talking to you? Huh? How many of you know you'll get out of a lot of trouble if God is able to talk to you? I mean, any trouble I've ever gotten out of is because God told me something and I did it and I got out of it. Any trouble I've ever been in is because I refused to obey what God was telling me. Praise the Lord. Our ears have to be healed in order to receive it, and the truth does that. So you need every kind of truth, beautiful truth and ugly truth, and I've taught you about all that. So it's really, really important, John 8:32. And then it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. How much of the word of God do you need to heal your ears to the point where you can actually hear God talking to you? Do you need to just read one chapter a day? Is that going to do it? Just get a Bible and just say, today I'm going to do my Bible reading. I'm going to read a chapter. Let me just say it how it really works. This Bible is going to do you no good if you don't know how to read it. So let me tell you how you read the Bible. The only way to read the Bible is to practice the Bible. What do you mean, Ivan? Here's what I mean. If that Bible says don't lie, and you don't lie, you actually won't know the blessings of not lying if you just read it and then keep lying. But if you actually stop lying, then you'll see all the blessings that'll come to you. And when you read do not lie, you won't read just do not lie as words. You will read all the things you learned when you didn't lie and all the blessings you got because you didn't lie. And when you read that do not lie, it won't be the same as a man who doesn't practice what he hears. It'll be a totally different way of reading the Bible. If God says love your enemies and you actually love your enemies, and you'll see all the amazing things you get from loving your enemies, all the benefits, all the blessings, everything that comes out of loving your enemies. If you just read love your enemies, it'll sound crazy. If the Bible says turn the other cheek, first of all, hardly anybody's going to do it because you don't understand what he's really trying to say. God is not actually saying become somebody's doormat and let everybody abuse you. The only reason he said turn the other cheek, it's because he said, you have no right to do anything until the murderer in you has been thoroughly killed. Praise the Lord. That's why when he told him, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go two. Make sure it's totally dead, that pride. Make sure that it's totally dead. So when you act on the Bible reads differently than when you just read the Bible. So how do you heal your ears? You heal your ears by doing what you know is right. Not just saying what's right and thinking what's right, but going out and doing what's right. And then it has power to change your life. Praise the Lord. This is really important what I'm telling you right here, because it's the difference between people who are just going to look at the Bible and say, oh, I read a couple of chapters, but nothing's happening. I don't feel anything. Ooh, you know, I read some. It's kind of boring. I'm falling asleep. And dear Lord, that is a sad thing. The devil doesn't want you reading the Bible because he knows the power that's in it if you learn how to read it. How do you know you've read the Bible in a day? This is how you know. Something from the Bible jumped out, latched onto you, and changed your life. You haven't read the Bible till you get some fresh manna from the Bible. The way you get that is by praying over the Bible before you read it and getting a translation that you can understand. Don't get a translation that makes no sense to you. Praise the Lord. Read through all of them and say, ooh, that really means a lot. Oh, I'm getting, ooh, that's amazing. Ah, ooh, wow, ah, wow, ah, ah. And then that's different because you're actually getting out something out of it. And then you apply the law of sincerity, meaning that when you read the Bible, you read it in an attitude that God is going to speak to you. But the reason a lot of us don't read the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is we don't want God to tell us anything. Huh? That's right. Most people don't read the Bible because they don't like what they find in there, because it makes them feel bad. So they've got to find a preacher who will tear out all those pages and just tell them all the stuff that makes them feel good and leads them straight into hell. Turn to two people and go, oh, my God. Yeah. The devil doesn't want you to believe in hell. He just wants you to wait and be surprised. But if you read how many times Jesus talked about hell, it's almost a travesty of truth to not talk about it. Praise the Lord. When I witness to sharks, when I witness to killer whales, people who are predators, I always talk to them about hell. I have found it to be the most effective way to get them saved. If you're dealing with a shark, you don't pet him. You hit him in the nose. If you pet him, he will eat your hand. If you're talking to a minnow, you just throw the net out and pull him in. But you don't do that with a shark. You got to get his attention. Praise the Lord. Anyway, maybe you're a better fisherman than I, but I don't think so. But anyway, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Now, so these are two very important things. Hebrews 4:2, the third thing on the medicines of the ear. This is really, really important. So the word of God, the truth, everything about it, all that will begin to heal your ears. And then, ladies and gentlemen, having an honest heart. How many of you know how easy it is to lie to yourself? Would you grab somebody and just shake them right now? Just grab them and shake them. Just shake them. How many of you know how easy it is to lie to yourself because you want something very badly? How many have ever wanted something? And you said, you know, I just want that. And so you have to invent God talking to you. You just invent God talking to you. Let's say you want a beer. And you're not totally delivered from alcohol yet, but you've become a Christian and you love God, but you don't, you know, and you know it's wrong, but you're just like, I just need a beer. I won't go to hell. Dear Lord, forgive me. And the whole time you're like trying to work it out. How can I get away with this? How can I do this? I want this. My body wants this. Oh, I'm craving this. Is it so bad? No, it can't be that bad. It's no worse than the preacher's overeating. It's the same thing. My God. And then you begin to develop these deceptions and excuses on why your sin is as equal to the preacher's sin or to any Christian person, you know, and this is how you get to do what you want. And it's a doorway into a lot of trouble. It's a doorway into a lot of trouble. Be honest. Be honest with God. Say, God, I want a Bud Light. Just be honest. Say, you're going to have to deliver me, but not now. I'm getting the Bud Light. We'll talk about it later. Give me the Bud Light. Don't kill me. Don't kill me. I'll work through it. I want to do the right thing. Give me another one. But if you're not honest, then you're going to develop excuses, doctrines, theories. It's much better to just tell God the truth and just be honest. Because you're never going to get healed of the lies in here if you keep supporting those lies. Praise the Lord. Be honest. Tell God who you want to kill. Just tell Him. Don't kill people, but tell Him you want to kill people. Say, Father, you know that I've been sighting in my gun. You know who it's for. You have the conversation with God, and He delivers you in the midst of you being honest and transparent. Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, this Christianity thing is going to be nothing but intellectual reading of words. And you're going to be reading little stories. And pretty soon you'll get bored with that because it's doing nothing for you. And pretty soon you're going to want to go back and honky-tonk and disco and do all the things, whatever it is you like to do, away from God. I guess there are no discos around here. Well, is honky-tonk okay? What is it called, man? What are the places here? Yeah, honky-tonk bars, whatever. You know, ditches. I mean, I don't know. Wherever they sell stuff. All right. So, and it says it here in James 1. Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word which is able to save your souls. We're talking about becoming a hearer, not just somebody that listens. And the evidence of all that is always going to be change. Praise the Lord. How much do you lie to yourself? This is the question tonight. How much do you lie to yourself? So, well, I don't know. Oh, yes, you do. There's no mystery about it whatsoever. Do you ever look in the mirror and just say, man, you are ugly? You don't want anybody else telling you that. It would be rude for other people to tell you that. And you shouldn't tell people that. But when you look in the mirror, sometimes you go, man, you look like a whale. And it, you know what? It helps. Instead of saying, wow, you look amazing, you're amazing. Wow, where's the rest of you? Oh, it's coming. Praise. No, you don't want that. You don't want that. There's a lot of lying going on, and a lot of that lying is about ourselves, to ourselves. You can never hear the voice of God when you are a liar. If you lie to yourself, you cannot ever stop lying to other people. Because the same lies you tell yourself, you're going to end up having to tell other people. Create all kinds of stories about yourself that never even happened. I had one guy tell me stories that were so fantastic. I had my cell phone while he was telling me. I said, who told you that? Who told you that? I got the phone out. So I happened to have his number. And I called him right in front of him and put him on speaker. I said, I got so-and-so here. He's bright red. I got so-and-so here. This is what he just told me. You told him. You said, you gave him, you said about him. That's a lie from the devil. That is a lie. Because for a lot of people, Christianity is not really anything. It's like some kind of game or something. But really, God's trying to bless us all and make us all really happy and really give us a lot of wonderful lives. He's really trying to do that. But we need to be honest with ourselves. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and tell somebody and say, be honest with yourself. But don't be honest with me. No. I think that's important. So, look at this. He answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Luke 8:21. You know, the way that you connect to God is by doing what he tells you. God is not impressed with what we say. God is impressed with who we are. Praise the Lord. Give someone a high five. Say, God's impressed by who we are. His family came and said, tell him to come here. And he said, no. The people that I'm related to are the ones that do what I tell them. And then in John 14:23, he said something really powerful. He said, if you love me, do what I tell you. Praise God. If you love me, just do what I tell you. Let me see your hands. How many of you know already what to do right now? Already know something you need to do that you're not doing, and you're going to change it tonight. Let me see your hands. Somebody say, oh, yeah, I know. I mean, it could be anything from smoking, drinking, lying, cheating, killing, murdering, maiming, kidnapping. It could be anything, you know, cleaning your house, changing your underwear, taking a shower, not scratching in public, not smelling, using deodorant. It could be anything like that. There's many varieties of things that God could be saying to people. Don't scream at your children. Don't cuss anymore. La, 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 la. Whatever it may be, it's a matter of surrender, not a matter of law or legalism. It's a matter of obedience. Praise the Lord. And everybody needs to obey what God is telling them to do. Praise God. Everyone who hears my words and acts on them is like a man that built his house on the rock. How many of you want to have a rock house and a rock life? And don't want it blown down. You can put a rock between you and your husband and wife. You can put a rock in your marriage and you both can stand on it. If you will simply do what God tells you to do. And the devil won't be able to knock you off of it. If you as a husband and wife do what God tells you, you'll be standing on a rock. But believe me, if you don't do what God tells you, you'll suffer for it. Everybody does. But I don't want you to suffer, and neither does God. Look at someone and says, I don't want to suffer either. Praise the Lord. Say, I want some blessings from the Lord. And so it's important to hear and to understand, you know, what the Lord is saying to us. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my words inside you and make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. That's pretty powerful. That's all from hearing and listening. Praise God. I wish I had listened to my mom and my grandmother. I was running out of the house. I was a little kid, and my grandmother said, I want you to go to the corner store and go get two RC sodas. They used to have those. I don't know if they had them now. But they had. She said, go down to the corner store. It's a block away. But I had a dog named Fiddle Eyes. And Fiddle Eyes would always run in front of me, and I'd go flying. She said, don't run with those sodas in your hand. Walk. That's what she said. And she said it once when she gave me the money, once when I was running out. So I run to the store. I had one in the right hand and one in the left hand, and I take off running. I could hear a voice in my head. I'm running down the street, running as fast as I could. Fiddle Eyes is right next to me, trying to jump on me the whole time. I said, Fiddle Eyes, get down. Fiddle Eyes, get down. Fiddle Eyes, get down. Fiddle Eyes runs right in front of me. I go flying. Land there. Open my, that's a whole entire scar. The whole thing came up. Praise the Lord. Not months later, I take off running down the alley. I hear my grandma, don't run with Fiddle. You're going to get hurt. Don't run. I'm running down the block like a wild savage. I just have shorts on, nothing else. Just running down, you know. And the Fiddle Eyes is running with me. There's an open field. I take off running. Fiddle Eyes runs in front of me. I go running. I land. Bam. And right through there and comes out right there. Beer bottle. Took it out. The blood starts shooting right in my face. Like that. I'm looking at it. I don't feel any pain. I'm just noticing that I'm being covered in blood. I start freaking out. And I take off running back to the house. Blood shooting. Just like that. I just saw my sister at the screen deal. Like, and when I woke up, I was laying in a hospital thing. And they were stitching me with no anesthesia, nothing. And I could feel it. The lights were shining. Screaming. Praise the Lord. On that one, I learned my lesson. Praise the Lord. 4th of July, I'm about 8 or 9, 12 midnight, me and my friends, my cousin Johnny and my friend Tony, we make our little plans. At midnight, we'll sneak out. You get your dad's shotgun, and you give it to us through the bathroom door, and we'll be waiting for you there. He said, okay. Midnight, I'm sneaking out of the window. I feel a cold hand grab my ankle, jerking me back into reality. It's my mother. What are you doing? I was just going to see the fireworks. All of a sudden, we hear a big, loud noise. Boom! Right across the street. All of a sudden, ambulances. Fire engines. Everything. I said, that's Tony's house. That's Tony's. So we ran across. The whole neighborhood was there. Like 100 people all in the neighborhood. Dogs and everything barking and all kinds of stuff happening. Sure enough, they bring out somebody in a gurney. The gurney's covered in total red. My cousin Johnny was waiting there. Tony had gotten his shotgun, didn't realize it was loaded. And Johnny had obviously grabbed it by the trigger and unloaded it and blew his head off. So there I am at the funeral, kneeling, talking to God, 8 years old. Saying, oh, God, that could have been me, and la, 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 la. All of these things. You know, God just saved me. If you hear God, you should fear to not do what he tells you. Praise the Lord. You should do what God tells you. Right now, you should do it today. Fix what needs to be fixed. Change what needs to be changed. Whatever it is, but do it. Start doing it right now. If you got to repent for something, do it. If you took somebody's stuff, pay it back with interest sevenfold. Whatever it is, just make it right. Get yourself out of trouble. Praise the Lord. Look at two people and say, man, that's what I'm talking about. Say, I'm coming out of trouble. Say, I'm never going back in trouble. So all of this... all of this comes for the last thing. Number one, every time that you hear what God tells you, a miracle is going to happen. Either it'll happen right on the spot, or it'll happen in the moments or days or months to come. But everything good you want comes when you hear and do what God tells you. So here is the final thing. You hear, you become, and this is the most important part of all. You hear, you become, and you do. You hear something, you become what you hear, and then you do it. And then you practice doing it. And let me read you the last portion of Scripture. What shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak, and of Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, of whom the world was not worthy. Say that to somebody. Say, of whom the world was not worthy. Say that to somebody, of whom the world was not worthy. See, the reason that we have to hear what the pastor's saying, why we have to hear what our family is saying, why we have to hear what God is saying, what we have to hear what our conscience is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, what the Word of God is saying, why we have to hear it is because God has a plan for you to become someone. And that someone fits into Hebrews chapter 11 and all of these verses. You become a person the world is not worthy of having in it. You become like these men and women. Every one of you that's here can be in this part of the Bible. Every one of you can do great things for God if you'll just obey God and the plan that He has for you. None of you have to be insignificant. None of you have to be hidden in some obscure place in life. You can change the world if you want to. But in order to change the world, you have to obey one line at a time, one command at a time, what God tells you to do with your life. If you don't do that, then your life is just going to go backwards and it's going to get worse. So whatever God is telling you, you need to do it. From being a humble person to giving away money. From forgiving someone who doesn't deserve to be forgiven. To doing something that is inconvenient that you don't want to do for somebody you don't want to do it for. Whatever it may be, God has already told you to do certain things for your own self. He says, I want you to stop doing this and start doing that. If you can just do that and take action on what God has said, how many of you believe that the church will be completely overflowing with people all the time because God is leading you to tell people to come to church so they'll get saved? How many of you believe that this church building can be overflowing all the time and there could be two services or three services? If everybody in the church just did that, if everybody in the church tithed, how many miracle testimonies would there be of people getting delivered from financial trouble, not just the people giving, but also the people receiving? Because God is looking for somebody He can trust with money. Praise God. Imagine the marriages that would get healed tonight if the husband just started acting like he's a Christian. What? Did I lose everybody? Right? Does a Christian man cuss his family out? Am I alone in the building? Hey! Does a Christian man cuss his family out? Does a Christian woman cuss her family out? No. Does a Christian man pick things up and throw them all over the place and kick everything, kick the dog, kick people, kick everything? Does a woman threaten to divorce her husband and kill him and murder him while he's sleeping? Praise God. Does a Christian man watch pornography when no one is around or when somebody is around? Is that what a Christian man does? Is that the kind of inheritance that a Christian man wants to put on his sons and daughters and grandchildren to buy demons to attack them? Is that what a man of God does? Does a man of God take a chance by drinking liquor and getting drunk and doing crazy stuff? It's not a matter of condemnation, ladies and gentlemen. It's a matter of facing reality and facing the truth. Yes, God loves you no matter what you do, and God will forgive you. But that's not the issue. The issue is how much pain can you take from not doing what God tells you. I guess that's the issue we're talking about. We're not talking about whether God's going to stop loving you or kill you or murder you. Somebody else will murder you. God doesn't have to murder you. Your neighbor will murder you if you cuss them out. They might take a gun and shoot you across the pasture. Or you may murder somebody and not see your children again for years and years and years. These are serious matters. Are we Christians or not? I guess that's the big question. You know what I'm saying? Does a Christian talk to people about Jesus? Does a Christian care about people and say, listen, you look sad. Could I pray for you? Do you know how many people would fall to pieces just by you asking them that question? You, what? Huh? They would just break down. I've seen them do it all the time. Especially my wife. She just breaks them down right and left. Just breaks them down, breaks them down. All in public places, just breaks them down. Get them praying. I said, Kim, man, that's embarrassing. At Sam's and all kinds of restaurants and everything. I'm a little bit more dignified. You know what I'm saying? I get them born again, saved, but all with dignity and class. My wife just gets in there blubbering with everybody. She starts crying, they start crying. Man, she's just too real sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I have some kind of technique in class to accomplish the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But you know, if you're a Christian and you love God, can I ask you a question? Do you think that God loves the people living out there in the bushes? Hidden in those gigantic ranches. Doing God knows what out there in the dark. With all kinds of wild animals running around. You know what I'm saying? Why should they go to hell? Because the Christians who have the answer don't have enough love to go chase them down. Why is this church not flowing, overflowing with thousands of people, ladies and gentlemen? Is it because Robert is a terrible preacher? Is he a terrible preacher? Is Robert a lousy, pathetic, weak, mamsy, pansy, milquetoast preacher? Because if he is, then I don't know who Robert is. Huh? Yeah, does Laura lead pathetic worship? So pathetic that everybody's sleeping in the chairs and yawning and no anointing and all that? And Robert can't get everybody saved by himself any more than, you know, two or three people. But all the people together, if you were just to obey God about that, you meet crazy people on your jobs. Say, you need some God in your life. Come to church with me on Sunday. Just make it a policy of your daily life. Say, look, I know you're totally messed up. I can see it. You're like horrible. Come on to church. We like horrible people at church. Matter of fact, I'm a horrible person. I just got out of jail last week. I've been saved for 15 years. Right? You never know. Praise the Lord. But what's the issue? The issue is, are you just going to stay the same way? Is this going to just keep going? Everybody's nice and normal and tries to be good and read your Bible. And are we going to challenge ourselves with hearing what God has to say to us and say, you know, my life can be better than this. I can be more amazing than this. Praise God. I shouldn't be doing any work in Africa, ladies and gentlemen. I really shouldn't. But I'm about to start something in Israel. I shouldn't be doing that either. But I don't give a flip. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it. Praise God. I'm not finished with Guatemala, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's in my blood. I just got to do something. There's people dying everywhere. And I know one thing. Some people love Guatemalans. Some people love Africans. And some people like Israelites and all that. And some people just love anybody. There you go. Let's do the best we can. What is God telling you? What do you have to do? It's action time. Tell somebody it's action time. You may say, well, I need to stop cussing, dear God. Anybody need to stop cussing tonight? Let me see your hands. Don't be embarrassed, because I just preached to you about being honest. This is really important, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you think that getting the devil's language out of us is important? Do you want to speak Satanese all your life? Do you want to speak Satanese all your life? I understand the allure of cussing. I enjoyed cussing. I'll be honest with you. I loved it. Because there's a rhythm to cussing at certain times. It's almost musical. And nothing fits like a good cuss word right at the right time. So I understand that. I know why you like it. I can totally relate to it. But I know Jesus delivered me of cussing, and I couldn't cuss. When he delivered me, I just couldn't do it again. So he wouldn't have delivered me from something he wanted me to keep. Praise the Lord. So I'm just asking, who wants to have a clean mouth and sound like you're saved? Huh? Let me see. Stand up and lift your hands up. All the cussers, stand up. And let me just tell you something for all you cussers. Let me tell you something. I love you, and I so respect you for wanting to get rid of your cussing. But you've got to be honest with God and say, Lord, I kind of like this. That's what I had to do. You have to decide, yeah, I like cussing because it really gets people going. I can get my family to work if I'll start cussing at them. That may all be true, but it's not going to benefit you any. And nobody will respect you for it. There's just limited people who respect that. Lift your hands up. Just lift your hands up. This is going to be real easy. Just say these words. God, clean my mouth. Put a coal of fire in my mouth so that I don't speak Satanese anymore. But I speak from a pure heart. No complaints, no griping in my heart anymore. Clean it now. Wash it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now all of you point to each other and say, I'm not a cusser. Now lift your hands. Don't sit down. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. And say, praise you, God. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. Fill my mouth with praise. When I want to cuss, let me speak your holy word. Let me bless them when I want to curse them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at two people and say, you've been delivered. Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and say, thank God. Man, I so respect you for getting up about that. Praise God. Who wants to get delivered from drinking? I just want to see. Because remember, we talked about being honest. Let's see if anybody wants to get delivered from drinking. Does anybody say, I want to get delivered from drinking? I just want to be rid of it. I don't want to have it in my life. I just want to be delivered from it completely. I want to have the power of the Holy Ghost come and set me free. That's why we're in church. Right? We're here to get delivered. That's why we're here. It's not like no. It's not like it's a secret. Most people know who drinks. Praise the Lord. But the question is, do you want to get set free? Because God cannot set you free from something you don't expose. He can only set you free from what you expose. If you hide it, you keep it. Amen? So I'm just going to ask, who would like to get delivered from that problem? If you're here, lift your hand, and I'll pray for you. Praise the Lord. Say, man, I want to get delivered from that. I just never want to have a... Who has alcoholism that runs in your family? I want you to stand up for every alcoholic that's in your family. Just stand up for them and say, I'd like my whole family tree to be cleansed from alcoholism. Praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be great if God just rushed through your family like a river and just started delivering all the alcoholics? My brother started drinking, he told me, at 7 years old. He was a drunk all his life. I never saw him drunk once. He said, oh, man, I've just been a drunk all my life. You know what he did? He was listening to the radio at TV at 2 o'clock in the morning and heard Shambach. And he got saved. And he called me up. He said, I was hearing Shamrock on the thing. And it happened. What you said happened. He said, I got it. I did it. And he started speaking in tongues. He said, I can't speak normal. Da, 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 da. You know, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost and didn't even know what it was. But my brother told me something very precious. After he had walked with God for a while, he said, Ivan, I was a drop-dead drunk. He said, I got saved that day, but I did not get delivered. He said, I just didn't sleep for 3 years. That's what he told me. He said, I've never taken another drink. But he said, I had all the desires and all the everything. I didn't get delivered from anything. It took 3 years, he said, for me to be able to get a night's sleep all the way through. Because my body, since I was 9 years old, was so addicted to liquor. 3 years, ladies and gentlemen, and he got delivered. You have no idea the respect I had for my brother. I just cried. I just held him and go, ooh, that's awesome. He resisted the temptation every day for 3 years. And those of you that have had an addiction know how hard it is to say no when your body's trying to say yes. Wow. That's a powerful thing. How about we send the Holy Ghost to go chase your family right now? Amen. How about we send the Holy Ghost to go chase your family right now? Let's get all the alcoholics in your family in church. If they don't live here, wherever they live, let's get the alcoholics in church and get them all delivered and set free. Let's let a revival break out by you just doing what God tells you. God's going to tell you to do something tomorrow. If you'll just obey him, as crazy as it sounds, just obey him. He may tell you give away $30,000 to the church. Put it in Robert's hand. Or he may tell you, go pay somebody's car off or go do this financially. Or he may tell you, call a person and apologize to them for what you said and did. Who knows what God will tell you to do? But don't procrastinate. Do it. Praise God. How about let's get those alcoholics. Lift those alcoholics up right now in your hand. Just go like this. And I want you to start saying their names. Just yell out their names in the name of Jesus. All these names that are going up, God, right now, as the people are beginning to mention the people in their families. God, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit and go chase those people. Go get all those alcoholics. Everybody, God, and all the families that are standing right here, let there be not one alcoholic of any person that is standing up right now. As you delivered my entire family from alcoholism, I ask you to deliver their families from alcoholism, Lord, every person. And here's what I'm going to declare over you. Not one of you shall have a child who has an alcohol problem. Not one of you shall have a child that has an alcohol problem. Your sons nor your daughters will be alcoholics. I break the curse of alcoholism over your children and over your grandchildren. And I declare that the chain is broken right now, right here, over your family in the name of Jesus Christ. We declare that those chains are shattered. And these chairs right here are going to be filled with people at every service. All the services, Sundays, Wednesdays, all the services are going to begin to get filled. Because all you have to do to have a revival is do something. That's all you have to do is do what God tells you to do every day. Act like a Christian. Talk like one. Behave like one. Just do Christian things and Christian things will happen. Just start living like one, talking like one, acting like one. Tell people about Jesus. Love on folks, you know, bless some people and it's going to happen. All these alcoholics, God, and all their families, you see the terrible trouble that they've got to face, God. I saw so much of that growing up. And I ask you, God, that there not be one alcoholic in this families, that they are broken and delivered. Get them saved, God, and get them delivered. And throw in all the drug addicts in the families as well, God. Deliver all the drug addicts from it in the name of Jesus. And anybody, God, who takes it lightly, God, that would be there. I ask you to convict them about the seriousness of cracking the door for Satan. God, that door be shut and that it stay shut in the name of Jesus. Now I'm feeling the Holy Ghost telling me some husbands that are not saved and serving God are going to start getting saved right here. If you have one of those husbands, walk around the church right now. And God, I claim for any man or woman that walks right now around this church, their husband is going to catch on fire. They're going to walk with Jesus. They're going to, don't stop walking till I tell you. They're going to serve God. They're going to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. They're going to get anointed by the fire of the Spirit. They'll start loving God. They'll start going to church. They'll lift their hands in church. They'll play a musical instrument. They'll walk in the Spirit of God. They'll love the Lord. And God, that everybody will see it as a miracle, as a testimony miracle in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost talking to me now. He's starting to talk to me. The Holy Ghost. Now everybody that has a child that is bound up by something and not serving God, take a walk right now and come on and I'm going to intercede and break it off. All the children, God, of these men and women that are walking around right now, I ask you, God, that before December of this year, that those children have an encounter with you. That their lives, Lord, are miraculously changed. That something happened, Lord, to them that has never happened to them before in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look at all these people, God, who love their children. They love their children. They want their children out of trouble. They want their children in your hands, Lord. They want their children walking with God and serving God and obeying God and following God. And Lord, I ask you to make them bold about it, to make them warriors now, intercessors for their children, that they not accept it, that they not be at peace about it, that not tolerate it in their spirit, God, but they declare war against it in the name of Jesus. We declare war on all the oppressions of the devil on any child of anybody that's here. We declare war against it. We say all your sons and daughters will start coming to church. They'll start praising God and giving testimonies, and the whole church will be filled with the glory of the Lord. People, your children are going to be prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and lawyers and doctors and businessmen and entrepreneurs and powerful women of God. And they'll raise godly families and the curses will not be passed on. They'll all walk in the beauty of the Lord and in the spirit of holiness and in the deliverance. Simply by hearing the voice of God. What is God telling you to do? What is God saying to you to do? You got to make a decision right now that you're going to do it. Say, God, I'm going to start doing it. I need everybody whose debt is choking you. Take a walk around here and let's get you out of debt in the name of Jesus, God. Everybody who has debt in their life, debt they don't know how they're going to pay. No idea where the money's even going to come from, God. I ask you to reverse that for them right now.
take this bull by the horns, Lord, and wrestle him down to the ground. Where there's no one, God, who lacks money to pay their house, pay their car, pay their bills. Get them all out of debt, God, in the name of Jesus. Double their finances, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give them a raise. Give them business. Give them anything they need to give them, God. Help them, God, in the name of Jesus. Barabasoto buranga. As they walk around a walk of faith around the walls of Jericho, that they'll just make it crumb. They'll make it fall, God. That the walls will crumble down. That they'll say, in the name of Jesus, we're not going to have anybody in this church that's in debt. Every member of the church will be out of debt. Anybody that visits will get out of debt. Any person that's near you will get out of debt. You'll lay hands on people and their debt will be paid off. You'll shock them out of the trouble. You'll pray them out of the trouble. You'll get them delivered out of there in the name of Jesus of Nazareth by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now visit every husband. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to me. He's telling me some husbands need to repent tonight, and I need you to get up and repent. I need you to get up here and walk around a walk of repentance and say, I haven't been the husband that I need to be. I need you to get up and do it. Be honest and say, I need to really become a man of prayer and a man of the word and serve God and have the Holy Spirit come. I need you to get up and start walking right now and let the Holy Ghost come on you as I'm praying for you right now. Get on up. Say, I'm going to be a man of God from now on. Come on. This is what you do in the house of God. You get right with God. Come on, every husband that says, I got to do something. I got to start walking with God. I got to start serving the Lord the way I'm supposed to. I got to be a man of God. I got to talk like him. I got to live like one. I got to think like one. I got to act like one. Say it. Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm tired of being something that I'm not supposed to be. I need to be a man of God. In the name. Ooh, I got a word from God. Every complainer, I need you to get up. Every complainer, get up right now. Say, I'm done with complaining. I've been complaining. I complain about everything all the time. I'm griping. Walk around and don't let that curse come out of your mouth. That complaining. That thing will rob you of your blessing. It'll cheat you of your blessing. Every time you complain, you lose your breakthrough. And you got to say, I'm going to stop complaining. I need my breakthrough. Come on, say, I'm going to speak the faith-filled words of God. And I'm going to stop complaining about people, about my life, about my circumstances, about my situation. I'm not trusting God when I complain. I'm doubting God. I'm not believing in God. I'm questioning God. I'm finding fault with God. Get rid of that complaining. Say, I get rid of that tonight in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to have complaining in the house. I want everybody praising God in the house, giving glory to Jesus, filling the house with the glory of God, filling the house with the praise of God, because we're not just hearers of the word, but we are doers of the word in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say, I praise you, God, for everything I've been in, every circumstance, every person, I praise you. I won't complain anymore. I won't find fault with anything. I'm just going to let my mouth declare the good things the Lord has done. It's deliverance time. It's time to go somewhere that we haven't gone before in the Holy Ghost. We're going to do something. Take some action tonight about something. Declare something that you haven't declared. Do something with your body that you haven't done before. I need everybody that needs to lose that weight, get on up and walk around and say, dear God, I got power because I'm in with you on that one. I'm walking with you on that one right there. Lord, I need this weight to come off the body. Praise God. Lord, we repent right now, God, for not doing what you told us to do. For turning ourselves away from you so many times. For taking advantage of your mercy. God, deliver all. There's about 10,000 pounds of beef that's got to disappear right now, Father, on folks. Get it off some of us, Lord. Let that beef, I'm walking right here. Let that beef come off, God. I need 40 pounds to get off my body. Come on, name the amounts you want. I need 40 pounds off my body. Say that. Say, I need 30. I need 25. I need 35. I need 55. I need 105. I need 12. Whatever it is, say, it's coming off. I'm losing that weight in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm not backing off. I'm jumping in with both feet in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Let's honor God with our bodies in the name of Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to honor the Lord. Praise God. Now, let's do one final thing. Let's double everything in the church. Just point your hand at any corner. Say, we'll never stop till God hears our prayers. And everything is doubled. Double the anointing, double the money, double the people, double the love, double the unity, double the purity, double the holiness, double the power, double the presence, double the praise, double the glory, double everything in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Can you bring in that product? Thank you, Lord. Judy, can you? Praise God. In the name of Jesus, look at somebody and say, I believe the Lord has heard us tonight. Praise God. Woo! Man, there's an anointing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Well, this tape here, take it for yourself. It'll just say updates. This is from the beginning of the orphanage all the way till today, and a lot of beautiful stories there. That's for free. Everybody, please buy Gavin's CDs, whatever I have there. It's a worship CD. Very beautiful. If you don't have it, you ought to have it. I promise you, you'll love it. If this doesn't make you cry and weep and worship Jesus, send it back and I'll send you your money back. But it's really awesome. And then we only have a couple of books back there. But every woman should have this, Woman Defined. And you ought to get that. It's really great. My book is coming out here in the next month. It's been at the printers. They're just working out the kinks, whatever those are. And then I'm going to have it coming out, Letters from God. If God wrote you a letter every day for a year, what would he say? And so it's one letter from God every day. And they're all really, very prophetic. They're going to minister to you and you really love them. Praise the Lord. So buy everything and give me a really big offering tonight. $10,000, $100,000, $50,000. I promise you I need it. For the orphanage, for so many things. But once again, I trust you. I trust the church. You all always are amazing and all that. So it's never an issue about that. But I do want you to get all these products. And that way they don't have to mail them back. And there's just a few things there. So God bless. I hope I was a blessing to you. And I love you. And we'll be back in December. But the whole family is coming in December. We're going Sunday through Wednesday. Everybody's taking turns preaching, so you got all of us preaching. You'll have my wife preaching and flowing in the Holy Ghost. You'll have Gavin preaching and flowing in the Holy Ghost. You'll have Bethany preaching in the Holy Ghost. You'll have Kendra preaching in the Holy Ghost. Everybody, it's going to be awesome. Praise the Lord. God bless. Here's Pastor Robert.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless yourself tonight.